I think all with any direction from the Spirit of God and they're praying today are praying that once again the wind of God come. Awake, O heavenly wind. It's almost as if we're doing this by ourselves. I know we're not. We can't. We have a little. But I don't know anybody God's making any issues in their life. Do you? Had to be the Spirit of God working back then for us to have heard one say an issue arose in a young girl's heart. Had to be. Well, we will keep on as the Lord helps, praying, pleading with Him for one more time in the church, His church, to breathe upon us. My soul, how we are in such desperate need of that in our hour. If you'll turn with me this morning to the book of Zephaniah, just a little book, three chapters. You young folks, and I hope all of you are bringing your Bibles and keeping up. So if you have it, you young folks, it's the fourth book back from Matthew. So just get to Matthew and go back four books. And I certainly never say that to in any way of intimidating anyone or thinking that you do not have sense enough to find it on your own. I said that only for the little ones so that they can get there with all of us. If you're there, would you pray with me? Our Father, we are as millions and millions of people today that have made their way to something, call a church building, and something that is called worship. Whether any do is dependent upon Thee. Certainly because we profess to have truth does not in any way imply that the truth of God has us. And because we are here does not mean that we will worship this day. It simply means that we've made some effort to get here. We've heard right things. And we were involved I trust in honestly asking Thee in Him for the Spirit of God to come breathe upon us. That in our gathering we can get beyond ourselves and our need, and surely all of us have that. But just for a little rise above that, and from us, by the wind blowing, flows those sweet aromas on the plants, O God, that Thou hast planted. If You have worked thus far in our hearts, help each this day give us a sober, open, receptive heart and Father, I ask You for the physical and especially the spiritual strength to declare. Please do not limit this to the little things, the few things that I know, but open Thy Word and instruct us, we pray in Christ's name, and we ask it for His honor and glory. Amen. Now, this is unusual for me to deal with a lot in one book at one time. But I want to read with you. You read with me. And this seems like it is starting backwards, and it may be. But in chapter 3, first, in chapter 2, following that, and then in chapter 1, of God's warning of coming destruction. We don't hear that. There is not a God today declared that sends any warnings of, I'm going to destroy you. Today we hear positive, uplifting sermons. 10 ways a Christian can win friends and influence the world. Or 5 steps to a victorious Christian life. While enjoying everything around you. Or how to develop a relationship with God be popular with people. It's about people today. And our status in life, rather than how we stand, or beyond that, how God views us as we really are. We can sit through 100 sermons a year and never have any dealings with God. And that's a pitiful, pitiful shame. We all ought to leave with something from God within our own souls about our relationship with Him. Maybe about some of those little foxes in our lives. But you know what, folk? And all of you being honest, you've got to say, it's a rare thing to find somebody leaving the house of God with God having dealt with them. Well, Zephaniah chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. When we read that in chapter 2 and find out that they did not heed God, they did not obey God, they did not hear God, then you come to chapter 3 and we're reminded of that in Revelation. To her that is filthy, let her stay that way. I'm not going to warn her anymore. I leave her as she is. She did not heed my warnings. Verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. There's been a great deal of emphasis and deception, and one of the most damning lies that Satan has ever hatched up, that is declared almost universal in gospel circles. That is that all of our duties and all of our obligations to God and to our own soul can be eternally satisfied and eternally completed with one act or one decision of our faith. And having done that, it relieves us of any further need to make certain. We got it all settled. And that lie is or has destroyed all within the professor he or she has no further need to be in pursuit of God. We can go on and live like we want to now. We got saved. No further desire for holiness. We are all right. Took care of that. By our act or decision. No further need for an obedient walk. And it has stifled even destroyed and produced within an indifference to a continual seeking after God. You go see in chapter 2, he told her, you better seek me. And you just saw in the first two verses, God pronounced woe. She didn't do what I told her to do. And this big lie has destroyed within a following on to know the Lord Jesus. But here's what I have never found, never known a child, a true Christian that did not have within a gnawing, almost painful hunger that I may know him. God gonna leave you behind. If you do not begin to act, the first act is to honestly acknowledge in your own heart if there is that pursuit and there is that hunger. I have never known a child of God that did not busy themselves with any free time and seek to make and find free time to be in a continual mode, not on Sunday morning. God help Sunday morning Christians. But a child has that within that puts him or her in a continual running after, following on, hunting to know begging for help if these things begin to die within. Desiring to develop a friendship between the eternal God that gave His Son and yourself. Please do not call yourself a Christian if there is not that within your heart. these things. The danger that has risen from and in all that have been handed and believed this lie is that they've settled down to contentment with spiritual duties. Let's just get down where you live, folk. I know this is not popular. But I didn't come to be popular. I come to be a help or a trouble to your soul. Is there any such thing in you as seeking God daily? Hunting from the book, just some little crumb. Because you're withering up and dying within. Is there not some warfare going on between you yourself and your lack of what we'll label spiritual duties? Is there not some warfare going on? See, this thing of instant salvation has destroyed all this. And in those, the admonition to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray not because you need something in life. Pray because you need something within. Fight. Fight against any and everything that opposes, hinders you from pursuit of God and a walk in holiness. Laying down some things that keep you away from Him. Laying hold of eternal life. You really believe God's going to send folk to hell? We don't believe that anymore. And not a one of us that really believes in the end God's going to end up sending us to hell. Except when we get alone and by ourselves and the child wanders and goes through doubts, seeking after. Lord, am I yours? If I am yours, why is all this? It's destroyed all that, that salvation that they came up with soon after the turn of the last century, not this one. And to tell somebody that you got to continually be seeking and warring, laying hold of eternal life and praying, it's a far-fetched thing that any would trouble themselves with such efforts today. And they would accuse me of having little or no faith. Because if you had great faith, like I did, you wouldn't doubt. I don't know of such an animal called a child of God that doesn't go through doubts. But I do not take doubts as you being Christian. No, no. The doubt is to tell you you need to check on something. You need to make certain your calling and election. And this that God requires of us, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to thee. Christians today say, why? Why? I don't need to be nigh God. Got all that settled 20 years ago. Why are you telling us, no, I didn't, God did. Draw nigh to me. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And draw nigh unto me. You better get near unto God. You'll find that when we get to chapter 2. Heaven is a place prepared for holy people. Well now, preacher, you've told us before that only sinners are going to heaven. Yeah, that's true. But it saves sinners in pursuit of a holy walk before God. Giving thanks, Colossians 1, to the Father, which hath made us meet, that is, made us sufficient, rendered us fit, that is, God has equipped us adequately with power to perform the duties that the gospel requires of us, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath adequately equipped us to fight, to war on, made us meet to be partakers with the saints in glory. With the saints in light. You being made fit. Within every Christian, there is a growing habitual preparation. And none of us are satisfied with what God did for us yesterday, especially a year ago or 10 years ago. There's not a Christian satisfied in past attainments. Yesterday, I walked with God. No. Within every Christian, there is a present measure of grace that moves you onward to draw near God. There is within your soul a longing to be advancing, progressing, pressing onward, upward, heavenward, becoming more holy, having God more frequently deal with me. God enabling to take on the whole armor And God helping to lay aside every weight, lay aside that sin which doth so easily beset us, put it aside. Run. That's a strenuous exercise. And we've all settled down. And we're like the folk in Jeremiah's day that God condemned. I haven't been emptying you from bottle to bottle, and you've all settled on your leaf. You've got a lot of trash in you that I haven't stirred up because I've just left you alone. Lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset you, and run with patience the race set before you, looking unto Jesus. Now you're still with me in Zephaniah 3. Verse 3. Her princes within are roaring lions. Got a big roar. Got no strength. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Listen, her prophets are light. They've been trained in the best ecclesiastical schools available. They've entered the ministry as a profession. They are light. That is, they are inconsistent, and they easily comply with the wishes of their hearers. They don't make it difficult on anybody sitting there. And whatever is the desire of the hearers, these light prophets, they comply easily. And all they want is to get through life taking your money. And having an easy profession. Paul told us the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is, they are desirous of hearing something pleasant. Well, these prophets are treacherous. They look good. They got a pleasant sound. They seem to have a genuine concern and love for folks, but they're hiding behind a mask like a wolf dressed up in sheep's clothing. They are providing an insecure footing and support for anybody to lean their souls upon. Their light and treacherous persons. Her priest have polluted the sanctuary. Their office was to keep it holy, and they defiled it. They have done violence to the law. They've been twisting it, resting it, just like Peter said, Paul's written some things hard to be understood. And they that are unlearned and unstable souls, they rest, they twist, they torque the scripture to their own destruction. they interpret the law of God perversely. If the word preached does not bring conviction, sometimes condemnation, sometimes arrest, it is because the Spirit of God is not making application of it to your soul. And you sit here and twiddle your thumbs and your mind engaged in a thousand things outside these four walls. And the Word of God never brings conviction, never arrest anymore. Never condemns us. I don't know. But what we are in danger of that final woe. We are, if we don't begin to do something about the state we're in, not as a church, but as individuals here. Well, chapter 2, and the text would be from verse 3, it may be, ye shall be hid. But everything I've just told you makes you to know that God didn't hide them in the day of His anger. It may be, ye shall be hid. Before we read, look back with me at chapter 1. With that thought in mind, it may be I'll hide you. In chapter 1, Zephaniah, speaking God's word to God's professed people, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heavens, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Not only the wicked, all. Even the few inhabitants of the Lord living, he said, the good are going to be included in the bunch that I cut off. Israel is headed for destruction. I'm going to destroy the whole thing. Man and beast. And I don't know what brought about the disease in the rivers that destroyed the fish, or that which destroyed the birds, and the few that were left wouldn't remain there, so they left the land. Probably the stench. Now the good are not cut off from the Lord, but they're cut off out of the land. They're going to die with the wicked. I will stretch out my hand upon Judah, upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Kimmerons with the priest. Josiah had purged Israel of the prophets of Baal as much as he knew and as much as he could. But I don't care what good king might have arisen and destroyed the altars of Baal and killed the prophets of Baal. They never got rid of all of them. And though Josiah had done a great work, there was still a remnant of Baal and the Kimmerons were the priest. In verse 5, there are the professed idolaters, them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. Gotta get out in the open, because the God that we worship can't see unless we're in the open. And we'd like to look at what we're worshiping. The stars, planets. I'm going to destroy them. And them that worship and swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Professed idolaters, idolatrous priests, those that swear, and those that keep a balance between God and idols. Now, aren't we pretty good at that? They loved the high opinion of the worship of God, but every one of them thought, this can be enhanced. We'll add Malcolm. And verse 6, and them that are turned back, they were in the way, now they are reprobates from the Lord. And those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for Him, and I know within my own soul by the testimony of the Holy Ghost right now that I am speaking to some that are not inquiring after the Lord. Verse 7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guest. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with strange apparel. For we live in a day without God being actively engaged for good. Or without God being actively engaged against evil. Good is not progressing. God is not actively engaged against evil. Evil is progressing. And that has produced views, if you're not careful, in every one of us. Just like the atheist. The Lord won't do us good. The Lord won't do us bad. God's going to do you bad if you don't get this down. And you don't check. whether or not there's a pursuit in your heart for God. Okay? Chapter 2. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon ye, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon ye. He just told them what he's going to do. I'm going to wipe this place clean like a woman wiping a dish. God said, now, if you don't take it to heart, before the decree is brought forth, before the fierce anger of God comes upon ye, verse 3, seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness. Well, see, that's been destroyed from us by this instant Christianity. By this one act done no further acts required. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be. God's not telling you it's going to be. If you'll do these things, it might be I'll hide you in the day of my anger. It might be. See this, verse number 3, seek the Lord, seek his judgment, his righteousness, his meekness, all that activity has all but been taken from us these past 100 years. And we sit here, but look at all the good that has come about, science, medicine, technology, the advancement of all these things. And we relate that to the advancement of a religious system. If we've improved our lives with modern technology, and I say it's taken our lives from us, but our thinking is, if we've improved our lives so much, then anything that we come up with in religion is going to be better than that which we had. And the men and the methods of old are outdated. Now, you know what folk the gospel preached? Praying and singing is not good enough anymore to hold a congregation. That's all God ordained. And you mark this down. Unless God saves the young and teenagers before opportunity comes for them to move out of house, they'll never enter. Say a good possibility, they'll never enter again into such a pitiful assembly as this, where there is nothing for them to do. We got to come up with something to keep our young folk. My soul, all we're doing is damning their souls with all this entertainment junk. Remove not the ancient landmarks, Proverbs 22:28. which thy fathers have said. I'd just like to get back to them. Jeremiah 6:16, stand ye in the way and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths, and ye shall find rest for your soul. You mean there's no rest in this new method of instant Christianity? No rest. The rest they have is all deceptive. Judgment has already begun. We just don't acknowledge it because we don't like to think about it. We are a doomed nation. If the Lord tarries, we will be overrun by a foreign nation. And be required to submit to their laws, just like that happened right here. God took them all to Babylon, killed the king, some of the priests, and took them all to Babylon. He said, I'm going to rid this land of all of you that have abused my laws, my ways, and have not set your heart to seeking after me. We're already doomed. But it just might be that the Lord will hide you in the day of his fierce anger. See, that's something else we do not know in this day. And I understand that it's humane to give dying patients that which will help with the pain. But you know what it's done? It stopped deathbed cries. We've stopped their mouths. Doctors don't want to hear it. You nurses, I know it would be hard. But it would be a powerful testimony if folks could have senses enough, alert and aware, to at least warn those standing by, I am in hell already. I feel the flames of the eternal wrath of God. But God's not engaged for us. God help. All I can do is admonish you to hear and act. If you have no desire within to see, you might ought to get along with God, see what the problem is. Has he killed it out?